Today's audiocast for Monday, April 2nd, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. AvWeb talked with Jeff Simon, the senior manager for Mercury Computer Systems' VistaNav product line, about synthetic vision systems for general aviation aircraft. He says synthetic vision is quite different than enhanced vision systems and other moving map displays.
Up until this point in time, one of the most revolutionary things that people have had so far really is the concept of the moving map. And traditional pilot aviation, of course, is pretty complex, and it requires us as pilots to be able to determine our own positional awareness based on maps and landmarks and all the other types of core instruments that we traditionally use. And the moving map, of course, in GPS was a huge leap in being able to make an advance on that and take quite a bit of workload off. But in IFR conditions, the workload on a pilot is extremely high, and IFR navigation's really not a natural thing. It requires the pilot to synthesize a variety of instruments just in order to understand both the positional awareness of the aircraft and the situational position of the aircraft in terms of which way is up. And what synthetic vision does, which is dramatically different from anything that's come before it, is it takes this VFR perspective that we have and gives the pilot a representation of exactly what they would see straight through the windshield in conditions where they certainly can't. And it puts us back into almost a subconscious form of flying, where we're back to a more stick and rudder approach, and everything is more natural, and the workload on the pilot goes down significantly. I think that the most important thing is to kind of understand at least what the basics are of synthetic vision versus enhanced vision versus traditional navigation. In synthetic vision, it's exactly what it says. It's a synthesized view of what your outside vision would be, and it's based on a computer database as well as feeds that come in from inertial sensors and GPS receivers. So we have a computer system that has a navigation database, a terrain database, an obstacle database, and it takes these feeds of essentially solid-state devices telling us which way is up, what the attitude and direction of the aircraft are, and what our actual position is within that environment, generally coming from a WASH GPS receiver. And it uses graphical scene reconstruction to rebuild this image in a way that is exactly what the pilot would traditionally see. Now, enhanced vision is quite different. Enhanced vision, in a way, as it says, is an enhancement of what actually exists outside the aircraft in real time from cameras or other radar technology that can penetrate poor visibility and provide that image. They're very different things. Enhanced vision is something that would be very important on short final, coming into an airport and being able to give the crew heads-up information about the conditions of the runway, whether there was obstacles, a truck on the runway, deer walking across it, something along those lines, that certainly a database could never tell you, which is just based on the latest best-known information. Synthetic vision, however, has the advantage of being able to take things in addition to what we would normally see, but be able to take things out there such as navigational information, or what we've most of us have heard of highway in the sky, and take and give us a 3D representation of what the path of the aircraft should be for an approach, a traditional IFR approach, or even approaches that don't exist at certain airports.
Simon says VistaNav brings Project Capstone-like avionics at a much lower cost.
VistaNav is just for VFR use only. It's actually the first portable synthetic vision system for backup purposes. Basically, synthetic vision is a technology that really came of age with the Capstone program. It was really, I guess, the first mainstream company to do that was Chelton with their work up in Alaska on that effort. And in that case, you're talking about systems that were installed in many cases out of reach financially for pilots, extremely important and very good systems, But when we're talking about $100,000 for a lot of pilots, it's something that's somewhat out of reach. We're not a certified system, and we're certainly backup when compared to that type of thing. But yet, even if it's something that's kind of out of the corner of your eye or used as a backup if primary instruments fail, what we find is that having this window outside, this kind of view out of the corner of your eye that shows not just a blue up and a brown down, but really what you would see of the hills and the runway environment and what the alignment of the runway is incredibly helpful. We've gotten responses from our customers that are really almost humorous in some cases. I've had more than one person call me up and say, am I allowed to really have this thing on and still log the time as IFR because it feels like I've got a hood on? Even though I'm in real IFR conditions, the fact that I have this mounted somewhere in the aircraft makes me feel like I'm cheating in some way. So it really does have a pretty dramatic impact on flight.
He further explains the safety benefits that synthetic vision systems could bring to pilots.
I think one of the most important things to understand here is if we look at what the challenges are on flight and what really causes safety issues here, 10% of the aircraft accidents that occur related to spatial disorientation, and 90% of those accidents are fatal. And it's not just for IFR-rated pilots, because 40% of NTSB fatal general aviation accidents list the concept of continuing flight into conditions that are not VFR as the cause. So whether we're talking about VFR pilots or IFR pilots, the difference between going into a situation and relying directly on your training and ignoring the symptoms and the feelings that we get from our vestibular system when we can't see out, and we feel like we're turning even though the aircraft's level, that's a very challenging thing to do, and it takes quite a bit of training and diligence in order to do it, especially recognizing things when we could have vacuum pump failures or other things that occur. And when we look at what's happened with technology, many of the things that have happened just increase that pilot workload. Even the revolution of glass panels, as amazing as they are in bringing so many features together, can actually increase the amount of workload that a pilot's doing, trying to put this scan together, trying to continue to piece together what the view would be outside if only they could see out. And yet, once this revolution takes place throughout aviation, where it's standard in every single aircraft that synthetic vision is part of the PFD display, a lot of that just immediately goes away. And the safety changes that we're going to see in general aviation are amazing. The fact is, if we look at some major accidents, if you see the runway, you find the runway. If you see the mountain, you don't hit the mountain. And it seems like oversimplifying it, but it's really that simple.
The VistaNav system is portable and self-contained, according to Simon.
VistaNav is a what is more commonly these days considered to be a portable EFB system. We have two levels of hardware, but really running the same software platform. The first one is the CIS 1000 system, which runs on a tablet PC, and you can purchase that from us with or without a tablet PC, but the core of the system is the software and Mercury's own proprietary inertial navigation unit. Again, the key difference here is that we need to know the attitude of the aircraft. And while there are screens on GPS, portable GPS products and other things that try to emulate a panel and tell you which way is up, those can be extremely dangerous things to rely on, because the track of the aircraft, just knowing that it's going straight or that it's going a little bit to the right, doesn't tell you anything about which way is up. So the VistaNav system has this inertial navigation unit, which combines a WASP GPS, a barometric pressure sensor, and solid-state gyros that put together this entire picture of where the aircraft is, what the altitude is from a barometric perspective, so we can stay in tune exactly with what approach control thinks our altitude should be, and the actual attitude of the aircraft. So we put all that together, and that one complete system is able to do highway in the sky precision approaches, as well as basic flight planning. It integrates weather. We have the first 3D traffic representation system. So not only do you see traffic on a 2D display, and we do have both 2D and 3D, but when you look in 3D on your straight-up view, when there's an aircraft that's coming on in that, you'll see a wireframe box that's color-coded, and the aircraft is contained within that box. So that's very important, because on 2D, you look at it, you see something that's off to your right, and it's 200 feet below you and climbing, but it doesn't take into account, of course, your view. If you're descending, maybe you have to look up a little more. The 3D view of traffic is extremely helpful in that regard. And our CIS 2000 system is a Class 2 EFB that we're just now getting ready to announce officially, and that is more securely, more permanently mounted in the aircraft, even though it is a removable Class 2 device, but has really revolutionary graphics capabilities that can show frame rates that are somewhere from 30 to 70 frames per second, which is really something that goes beyond what the human eye needs in order to process seamless frame representation.
Despite their safety benefits, the FAA isn't likely to allow products such as VistaNav for IFR use.
Well, the FAA, I think, is quite clear these days that they are really looking at four kinds of things. You have the EFBs, which you have, Class 1 and Class 2 are not technically certified systems at all. Class 3 EFBs would be something that could be mounted in a panel, but not still a primary navigation device. That might show the aircraft, for example, a Falcon series of aircraft. I believe that their multifunction display can show the aircraft from outside, almost like a chase plane view. And that is, I believe, considered a Class 3 EFB installation. I could be wrong about that. But then you just have the use of it on PFDs. The products that we have today have the higher end, the CS 2000 series, has the ability to be installed and used in certain aircraft types, but certainly not for primary purposes. And the FAA is really not going to certify anything that does synthetic vision as a primary source until you're really Class A level and really replacing the primary displays. And it's not something that we've committed to at this point in Mercury making a strategic decision to do. But again, we're very, very passionate about the technology itself, and we're thrilled to see it expand, regardless of, you know, whether it's us or it's the next generation of panel platforms, because we think it's without a doubt the future and something that everyone should be familiar with, because I think 5 years from now, the concept of looking over and having nothing but a 2D map and really just a regular representation on a glass panel of what we used to have of steam gauges is really going to be a thing of the past quite quickly.
VistaNav runs on a tablet PC and can be used in a variety of GA aircraft.
Tablet PC is not too intrusive in the cockpit. We say it's somewhat between 8 to 9 inches high and perhaps 6 or 7 inches across. There do have some interesting questions that come from people when it comes to where do you position something like this. As a backup instrument, we certainly don't want to cover anything that is a primary instrument on the panel. That being said, when we're talking about traditional EFBs that just have a map and some charts, it makes sense to kind of put it on your knee or perhaps the yoke. With synthetic vision, we really want this to be something that's up in the field of view and not turning. As you can imagine, you turn right on the yoke, your whole image of the outside world turns along with it. So that's not extremely effective. We find that most of our customers will mount it on either the pilot or co-pilot side and up in kind of the corner of the windshield area. One of the more interesting things is that the higher-end aircraft that use this, and we have the system flying on everything from Cubs all the way up to customers flying this with private 737s, and it seems like as we go to the higher and higher-end aircraft, they have less and less windshield that exists on the, you know, to view out the aircraft because their panels just get taller and taller. And yet those seem to be the customers who are the most comfortable mounting it in a way that is very heads-up, even though they already have a restricted view. A lot of twin pilots will mount it right on the center post, straight up in the panel. But again, it's because they spend so much of their time heads down doing IFR flight. and they feel there's really no problem in moving the unit slightly so they can see around for traffic when they break out in VFR and are coming into their final approach for landing.
Simon says the company's systems are affordable, especially given their safety benefits.
Systems for VistaNav on synthetic vision start at $2,500, and they go up from there. That's if someone already has their own tablet PC. So it's a very affordable system. We have had some extremely good success out with customers. We've been shipping this for over a year at this point. So far, even recently, we've had one pilot that had a glass panel system in a new aircraft that failed in IMC flight. And he had no other displays. He just had his backup instruments, analog instruments. And he was able to use VistaNav to continue on his flight as an emergency backup. Flew a regular approach with it and was extremely happy, so it made a big difference in that regard. And we're also installed in some helicopters, and one of them is for use with a company that works for Homeland Security patrolling nuclear power facilities. And that helicopter happened to get caught in a snow squall on approach to landing and had zero visibility outside of the cockpit. And they also were able to go to their backup, you know, even though it's non-certified, their backup instrument, VistaNav, and come in for a safe landing. And our website over at www.vistanav.com has those stories, has some very interesting photos, especially of the helicopter coming in, where there were people on the ground trying to help them come in that were able to take photos of it. So it's very exciting for us to have an impact in aviation.
Jeff Simon, the Senior Manager for Mercury Computer Systems' VistaNav product line. AvWeb.com now presents more general aviation news delivered more often in a more reader-friendly format. Be sure and check out the new look of our homepage at www.avweb.com. Comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@avweb.com, and this report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Check it out at aviationconsumer.com. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Friday, April 6th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.